محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وأما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم. I offer my condolences to you and to the Imam of our time in these days when we're commemorating the wafat of Hazrat Masuma of Qom, whose shrine is in Qom. She's the sister of the Imam Reza, who passed away while she was visiting her brother Imam Reza in Khorasan, in Mashhad. So it's in these days that we remember this member of Ahlul Bayt. And as you remember, last time we were together, we were discussing another member of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Salaam ala Muhammad. And during this whole time that we had been discussing here, there, Orlando, in Tampa, and I'm sure that the speaker that we had here in Tampa during the Ayyam Muharram made it clear to you here also. Some of the speeches that I've seen and heard were very well presented, alhamdulillah. Talking about the aims and the goals and the inner meanings of Imam Hussein's movement. One of those aspects that I know I had mentioned during numerous speeches here and there was this issue of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, enjoining the right and forbidding the evil. And I really can't remember having given speeches now in 3 or 4 different places just over the last few weeks. I can't remember where we went over the aqsam and the marahil of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, the stages, the various types and the various levels of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, enjoining the right and forbidding the evil. But I know that we went over it, and I'm sure also that many of you know these things already. And just to catch us up to pace, to remind us of them, you know, Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, it's not just something simple and easy like that. Enjoin the good, forbid the evil. It sounds rather straightforward. But there's different types and different stages and different levels of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. I mean, just as an example, there's direct and indirect. If I want to advise someone, I can advise someone directly. I can go to the brother directly and pull him aside and say, "Brother, you know, while you were making your salat, you were rocking back and forth in your qiyam, and excessive movement in the various positions of salat can make the salat batil. Be careful." And you can advise someone directly, or you can advise someone indirectly. Maybe you know the person, but you're not that close. You're someone closer. You can tell that person who's closer and say, "Hey, remind him not to move so much in his salat." And so this also gets the job done indirectly. There's different ways that you can send a message. In doing Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, there's conditions. As an example, if you want to do enjoining the right and forbidding the evil, the first thing to consider is that, will your words have any effect? Or will they just fall on deaf ears? If they'll just fall on deaf ears and there'll be no effect, then it's not wajib on you to do that. You're driving down the road, you in Daytona, you pass a big crowd of bikers and they're drinking. And you want to pull over now and do Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. You want to tell them, Ya ayyuhan nas, why are you drinking khamar, alcohol? It's not a good idea. For a number of reasons, because you're gonna cross a number of the boundaries that are set up by Islam in doing Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. Number one, these hell's angels, they're not gonna listen to you. Talk to you, blue in the face, they're gonna drink. Number two, another condition of Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar is that if there is a possibility that you may face loss of life, or loss of health, or loss of property, then it's not wajib on you to do that. Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. So you know these bikers are going to beat you and then rob you if you try to talk to them too rough. It's not wajib on you to do Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar in certain circumstances. There's different types of Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar also. For instance, the lowest level of Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar is to hate something in your heart. That you see something happening around you, you don't speak out against it, you don't act out against it, but at least you hate it in your heart. You might remain silent about it, but at least you hate it in your heart. Now another level is that you speak out against it. That you see something happening around you that is wrong, then you speak out against it. You know, you raise your voice in opposition to that thing. And another level of Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar is that you take physical action to make sure that the right is followed and the evil is forbidden. Now look, you don't go too far in these things, especially when we're living here. I knew some brothers in LA. Sheikh Zaki is one of them. And he tells the story that when they were newly Shia brothers, they used to be from our brothers and they became Shias, and they had some very gung-ho brothers. Brothers like Wahid that were always ready to establish the Sharia. So one new brother, he accepted Islam. And one day these brothers, they're out, you know, in the neighborhood, and they run into this new brother drinking alcohol in public. This guy recently took his shahada. Without giving him any chance to explain, you know, I'm not interested anymore. You know, this Islam thing, it's good, but I like a little whiskey every night, whatever. They don't give him any chance to explain. On the spot, he's arrested. They put him in the car, they take him back to the masjid. In the basement of the masjid, they had a big screen TV. So they take him to the big screen TV and they tie him to the big screen TV. And then they administer the hudud, the lashes for drinking alcohol publicly. There in LA, in the basement of the masjid. You know, of course, when they're done with this guy, what's he going to do? He definitely is leaving Islam, but before he leaves Islam, he's calling the police. So there's levels and there's conditions in doing Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. What Imam Hussein's movement, alayhi salam, what his revolution, shows us is that when it comes to Islam being in danger, when it comes to Quran being in danger, when it comes to the revelation and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being in danger, then there's no condition anymore. There's no more, is my life in danger? Is my property in danger? Is my reputation in danger? Because you know one thing, even if someone will talk bad about you, like I know, this brother, he does this. If I go and say anything to me, he's going to talk rough to me. He's going to use profanity. He's going to be loud. My reputation will be such that people will look and I'll be made to look small. So I won't do the Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. But when Islam is in danger, there's no conditions. There's no limitations. There's no hudud, no limitations, no barriers to doing Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. This is one thing we see with Imam Hussein's movement. Now on this subject of Amr bin Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, it's a good idea for us to get a little better understanding of it for when we want to do Amr bil Maruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. And there's two things in a hadith that is mentioned by Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions in a hadith narrating from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
Need some sugar, brother. Anyway, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he mentions, anyone who wants to do Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar has to have two things. Two things. And those two things he mentions, number one is knowledge. Knowledge of haram and halal. Knowledge of what is ma'ruf and what is munkar. Knowledge of good and evil. And the other one is purity. Or a certain station in one's spiritual development with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you send a salawat, we'll explain this inshallah a little bit more.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, whoever has not thrown off his anxieties, whoever has not been purified of the evils of his own soul and its appetites, and whoever has not defeated shaitan and entered the guardianship of Allah and the security of his protection, then this person cannot properly do Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. Whatever he does in the way of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar will no longer be a barakat for him. It will be a hujjat on him. Brothers and sisters, this is why I mentioned this verse that I had read in the khutbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, what, do you enjoin men to be good and neglect your own souls while you read the book? Have you then no sense, or have you then no understanding? Oftentimes it happens that people try to do Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar with others before they've done it with themselves. They're so interested in what someone else is doing. So much attention is being paid to what their brother Muslim or sister Muslim is engaged in. Their eyes have fallen off of themselves. This happens frequently. Sometimes we focus so much on something that we think it's something big, when it's in fact it's something small. One time I went on a trip. It was overseas. We were in Lebanon. We were with some brothers. And one of the brothers noticed that one of the Americans who was with me, he was in his 50s. He had converted to Islam in the 60s. And had progressed in his Islam, to me, to the level of any of these shuyukh that we have. As far as a convert who studies, who proceeds to go and study Islam, learn Arabic on his own, learn, collect books, read books, and these type of things. So we were there and we were getting ready to make salat. And this brother had a leather jacket. So when we were getting ready to make the salat, one of the brothers with us was like, don't pray in the jacket, and wanted to take the jacket. The brother was like, nah, leave my jacket alone. It's my jacket. You know, so he's like, brother, you're going to hurt yourself. I've heard this a lot too, you know, you're going to hurt yourself. So the brother's like, no, it's okay, it's my jacket, I'm going to wear my jacket while I make my salat. The brother was like, it's not tired. So the brother said, look, you pray your salat and let me pray mine. They made the salat. After the salat, now this brother felt the need to instruct my friend who came with me from America in the religion. Because you know, it often happens that someone who's born Muslim thinks that the person who's converted to Islam, that they don't know. They don't know. So he tried to educate this brother. And the brother said, look, before you even start, look here. The jacket is from Indonesia. It's from a Muslim country. Don't worry about it. You're putting all this focus, all this attention, all through your salat, you were probably thinking about my jacket. Don't worry about it. We used to go to the masjid back home in the Virgin Islands rather regularly. And one time, one new brother came to the island. We took him to the masjid with us. And, you know, we're used to the brothers there. Most of them are Palestinian. Good brothers, you know. It's surprising. Sometimes, you know, oppression, it builds character. When people undergo severe oppression, it builds character. It builds a certain outlook on life that's healthy. These people, when they move to America now, these guys took over the economy. And many of them have found their way back to the deen, alhamdulillah. The masjid is always packed. We go to the masjid. There's a new brother on the island. He's going to make his wudu. One of the Arab brothers stopped him and says, "Brother, go and make your istinja first." So the brother was like, "But I didn't use the bathroom." He's like, "Brother, you're going to hurt yourself." So the brother was like, but I didn't use the bathroom. Why do I have to go?" So he's like, "Go and make your istinja first." So he goes, he makes his istinja, like, you know, like, what is this? What's going on? He goes, he complies, he comes back. Afterwards, now he brings it up to me. And I, because I've lived here, I know these people. What it is he doesn't know that many of our local Muslims there, they don't make istinja when they use the restroom. They save it till it's time to make the salat. And then they do the istinja and clean themselves up and make the wudu and get ready for the salat. So what was the condition of their clothes and these things is unknown. But this was their tradition, that they would wait until the time to make the salat, and then they do their istinja and their wudu and like this. But those of us who, every time we go to the restroom, we do our istinja, we don't have to worry about that. So this being the case, these guys were actually doing Amr bil Maruf wa Nahy al Munkar in something that was wrong. So one of the things that's necessary when we do Amr bil Maruf wa Nahy al Munkar, one of the things that's necessary is knowledge. We have to know Islam. You can't go and try to profess to train someone or to advise someone in what's right and what's wrong if you don't even know what's right and what's wrong. If you have no idea what's right and what's wrong, there's no clue of what's haram and what's halal. How can you now go do Amr bil Maruf wa Nahy al Munkar? You don't have the, according to this hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, you don't have the right to go and do Amr bil Maruf wa Nahy al Munkar. You keep quiet, sit down, learn something. Now there's another condition that we mentioned. What was it? Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he defines it. Muhammad, he says, whoever has not thrown off his anxieties and been purified of the evils of his soul and its appetites, whoever has not defeated shaitan and entered the guardianship of Allah and the security of his protection. So there's a second element here in addition to knowledge. And that second element is spiritual purity. Not only should we not go and do Amr bil Maruf wa Nahy al Munkar when we don't know, but also we shouldn't go and do it when we're not practicing it. And this is why this verse comes also. Do you enjoin men to good and to do good deeds when you yourself, you stay away from them? You yourself, you don't practice them? So don't you have any sense? So this also is a necessity and also a requirement in doing Amr bil Maruf wa Nahy al Munkar, is that certain spiritual purity, that certain development of the soul. And we all should be very careful, especially me sitting here talking to you, doing Amr bil Maruf wa Nahy al Munkar right now. We should be very careful because Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that when you do this Amr bil Maruf wa Nahy al Munkar and you yourself, you don't practice that, then this isn't a barakat anymore. This is now a hujjat. And perhaps we have to explain this a little bit so that we can understand the change in gears here. A barakat is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives you free of charge. It's a blessing. He gives that to you. He loves you and He gives it to everybody. There's certain barakat that He gives to everybody. The sunshine, the rain, the oxygen, the climate that supports life. There are certain barakat that everybody gets. Certain other barakat that only mu'mineen and muslimeen get. But in any case, a barakat is a barakat and it's something free of charge. And for the most part, we won't be called to account for that barakat. For the most part, we're talking about those barakat that Allah gives us to sustain us and to keep us, so on and so forth. Now, a hujjat is different. A hujjat is something that Allah establishes as a proof over you. So now, on the day of judgment, what's the difference between a barakat and a hujjat? The barakat comes up on the good side of things, on the good scale. That you did good and Allah rewarded you with this, or Allah just gave this to you. This is your barakat. The hujjat might be that same barakat that comes up to say, look, Allah always gave good to you and still you disobeyed Him. That in disobedience, that Allah continues to give to you, is one of the signs of bala. One of the signs of calamities. We have a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where Prophet says, if you find yourself disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and still receiving His barakat, then fear Him. Then fear Him. So this means, not every barakat is a barakat. Some barakat are hujjat. There are proofs on you. Then on the day of judgment, Allah will say, look, you were vile, you were bad, you were disobedient, and still I gave to you. And this generosity of mine had no effect on you. So that now it's part of that punishment, and not part of that barakat. In these cases, we should be exceptionally careful. And especially living in the times that we're living in now. So when we look at our condition as far as doing Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, I know I myself, I see it with myself, room for improvement, and I'm sure each and every one of us understands what's necessary now to do Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, to attain that status where we can properly carry out this divine responsibility, this social contract that exists between Muslims. Once a man named Thalab Asadi comes to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And he asks Prophet about this verse of Quran, Surah 5, verse 105, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum la yadhurrukum man dhalla. إِذَا أَهْتَدَيْتُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا فَيَنْبِئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. O you who believe, take care of your own souls. He who errs cannot hurt you. He who does wrong, has gone astray, cannot hurt you. You, when you are on the right way, to Allah is your return. And so He will inform you of what you have done. This Thalab Asadi comes to Prophet and asks him about this verse of Quran. And Prophet says, do Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar amongst yourselves. And practice patience and compassion with each other in advising yourselves and taking care of your own social needs. Be patient and compassionate. These are two things that are mentioned in more than one hadith relating to how we do Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar amongst each other. We should be patient and compassionate with each other. Prophet goes on to say, be patient and compassionate with each other in doing Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. And know that when that time comes, that evil is obeyed, and passions are followed, and everyone is full of conceit about his own opinion, then concern yourselves with yourselves. Because that person who is misguided can have no ill effect on you if you are truly guided. In doing the tafsir of this verse, it becomes clear then, before we even have the right to look outside of ourselves, we should clean up ourselves first. And then before we have the right to look outside of our community, We should clean up our community first. So this being the priority of this year that lays ahead of us now, between now and the beginning of next year, where we begin to again relate and to learn and to gain lesson from the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, we can keep this in mind in our striving towards nearness to Allah, towards perfection, towards gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we see that this Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar, when we say the word, it sounds like something just ordinary. But it was important enough of a concept in Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established it as a social contract between us. It was important enough in Islam that so much emphasis was laid on it by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was so important of a concept. Realize the concept of Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar at work. It was such an important concept in Islam that it made Imam Ali alayhi salam sit silent for 25 years doing Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar while he waited for his right to be returned to him. That's the importance of Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar. It's such an important position and such a important concept in Islam that we see that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam founds his movement and bases his movement on Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar. And we see that the entire movement of Imam Hussein is infused with this spirit of Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar. That even the youngest member of that caravan does Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. That when Imam Hussein takes his baby son Ali Asgar to that little hillock overlooking those enemy troops and calls out to them and says, look, Baini wa Bainakum Al-Qital. Between me and between you, there's fighting. We can fight. But this Ali Asgar, he's done nothing wrong. He's thirsty. Send some water for him. You could see that the crowd was thinking that maybe Imam Hussein alayhi salam is trying to use Ali Asgar to get water for himself. So Imam Hussein, he says, look, I'll set the baby down here and I'll leave and you bring the water and give the baby water. Still no reply. Imam Hussein returns, picks up and says, Ali Asgar, I've said all I can say to them. I've done all that I can do with them. You, Ali Asgar, you speak to them. And Imam Hussein holds up his six-month-old son towards that army that at least is 30,000 people strong. And Ali Asgar turns his head to them and stretches out his tongue. This tongue that is now dry. And cries. That cry that comes from the dry throat of a child. They say that the scene of Imam Hussein holding Ali Asgar and the gestures of Ali Asgar as though he's asking for water wreaked havoc in the army of Ibn Ziyad. Enemy soldiers began crying. Enemy soldiers began weeping. Enemy soldiers began saying, Wa wayla, what have we done? Send water for the son of Hussein. That even this Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar is carried out by a six-month-old baby. That even this effect of this Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar is seen there on the plain of Karbala on the day of Ashura. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gain the vengeance of Imam Hussein through our last and final Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Y'all the same.